I wake, trembling, beneath an outcropping of rock on the mountainside. I am alive, Elthor be praised. Yeva, thank you. The prayers are out before I can stop them. I don't have to think that way anymore, but it is a habit. I blame my sleep-fogged mind. I dig through my small shoulder pack for stale bread, then quickly return to the path and eat on my way down into the foothills. My legs ache, my head throbs. I am unused to such strenuous activity. But I am on a mission, and nothing will deter me. I wish I could run. I have missed so much time, but I don't have the energy. All I can do is plod along, one foot in front of the other. I'm lucky that I hear the voices around the bend before I see anyone. Adrenaline gives me the strength I need to run back the way I've come, madly seeking a hiding place. There isn't much. I look high and low. There. I scramble for a handhold and pull myself over the ledge into a shallow depression. I'm at eye level, but if I lie flat, my earth-colored clothing should blend well enough to disguise me. I pray as my heart pounds. It is a simple prayer, and I'm not even sure why I do it, except that in great need, don't we all seek a higher being to give us aid, whether we believe or not? Don't let them see me. Don't let them see me. Save me. Save me. Repetitious babble. I hate it, but I pray all the same. I cannot go back. The voices come around the bend, and now I can hear the words. Come now, Bronn, a girl's voice. Kalia needs something to take her mind off the road. Tell us a story. It doesn't have to be funny.
I think I've told you all the ones I know.
A deep male voice. I lie still, nearly holding my breath, letting only a little out at a time, quietly. I think I might pass out if they don't hurry by. Kalia? The girl again. Surely Jalcian scientists have their share of stories. You study so many interesting things. Come on, tell us. The answer is mumbled, and I cannot hear. They are approaching. If I lift my head, we will be eye to eye. For a moment, I consider doing just that. They seem friendly and harmless. I'll lift my head. I'll ask them for the news from Jalcian. We'll travel down the road together. It is because I am afraid and alone that I think such things. I've grown unaccustomed to the overwhelming solitude of the Outlands. I used to relish it in another life. Freedom. I breathed it in. It tasted like unobstructed light. It sounded like a vast emptiness. And it looked like a cottage, small and simple, and most importantly, too remote to draw visitors, even if they knew where to look. I was by myself at last. Perhaps I would stay here forever, never go back. The guilt in the pit of my stomach was slowly fading. I entered and closed the door and let my eyes feast on the cozy solitude I'd secured for myself. The house was built from the rock, floor to ceiling, and where the rock did not fully cover the area, wooden beams supported a mud roof. Alcoves had been dug into the rock for shelf space, and a cistern against one wall provided water from the water well. I had secured a work table, a wooden chair, and a bed, just the essentials. I was not here for leisure. In the far back was a partial brick wall, about 3 feet high, and I was drawn there to the center of my private little universe. The magic well. My own and no one else's. What a lucky find. Of course, I hadn't found it, but I had heard the stories from the area and hired the labor to search it out and build according to my requirements. I gazed into the color deep within, mesmerized once again by its untouched splendor. Jalcian could have its large well, and its scientists could vie for their labs and jockey for their positions. Here, I would not know a moment's interruption. Here, I would finally be able to delve into the secrets of magic and discover all my power could really do. I'd failed once, but I would not fail again. No price was too high for this. The opportunity for companionship passes, and the voices fade, and the travelers climb onward toward Therion, toward a place where I do not wish to be, ever again. I wonder why they go. Perhaps family. Perhaps because where they are from there is nothing left either. Lying on my stomach in the dirt, I let myself sink a little back into the despair I've so recently escaped. And the question resurfaces, what if there is nothing left? The tears turn to mud beneath my cheeks. Salty, lifeless rain on parched and dead earth. Why was I so glad to be alive this morning? Lomara has died. It is Elthor's cruel joke that I have escaped just when it matters least. No, it is not a joke. Elthor has released me because he has abandoned Lomara, and he has no need of me anymore. Or perhaps he is dead. Or perhaps I have finally gone insane. Or perhaps that happened long ago,
and I have forgotten what it means to be whole.
Elthor be praised. Don't get too excited yet. We don't know if it will be select.
I was too nervous to remember my manners and address him properly, nervous and sick.
But you've done it? The manipulation? You did all you were supposed to do?
Yes, but the manipulation of magic in an embryo is a tricky and delicate process, and there's no guarantee that the magic didn't just pass through the host.
I caught my tongue just before blurting that I had done this before and failed. No need to remind him of that.
But, I added, eager to please, hoping to be right, all the factors within my power to influence were influenced to the best of my knowledge and ability. Our son will be select.
Our son?
He loomed over me, eyes abruptly sparking black with a cold fire, heartless.
You are nothing. Unless the child is select, it is nothing. But if you have succeeded, and you'd better pray you have, the child will be mine. The Empress will be the mother of one more heir of Therion. You will get to live.
Suddenly, I doubted everything. What had I thought? That bearing a royal child would elevate me? That I would become the Emperor's mistress? That he would leave his barren queen for me? That my studies in magic made me somehow different than other women? That my ability and my knowledge would keep me safe? What a fool! I looked around frantically for an escape. The Emperor of Therion spoke to High Priest Pelag. Take her to the Temple Harem, a new acolyte for Elthor. Test the child when it is born and let me know. Until then, see to it that she cannot harm herself.
I lie face down in my hiding spot a long time, willing my mind to stop. Stop altogether and leave me at peace, one with the earth. Slowly, I become aware of my existence again. A breeze lifts the hair on my neck. The sun soaks through my cloak. I hear a bird of prey screeching high overhead. I'm alive.
I rise to my knees, slide down to the path, turn my face away from the mountains, away from Therion, away from the god who does not exist. This small rebellion lifts my shoulders, fills my lungs with breath. I am not just alive, I am free. I adjust my pack and put one foot in front of the other. I am free.
Yeva, Mother, they called her. I stared up at the 30-foot statue. Onlookers might have thought I was praying. In a way, perhaps I was. I prayed to Elthor daily and often, but Elthor was distant. Yeva was alone. Cast from Thyr's presence, that was my version of the story, trapped in the bowels of Lamara. She was like me, and I found small comfort in that. Small comfort was better than none. Years ago, when I had first arrived in this prison, High Priest Pelag had told me and the others that she was ours. No one else was allowed to see her. She was for those who birthed magic, as all of my temple sisters and I had done. I was aware that I had bought into this manufactured piece of his religion, but I had to hold on to something. We all did. Forced into temple service, neither prostitute nor nun, we were kept in secret so that no one might ever know the Empress didn't bear our children. We had only each other, and we were not good company, a gaggle of petty, jealous, bored, jaded, bereft women. Yeva was my friend, for she was always there, and she said nothing. I knelt at her feet and kissed them, the stone rough and cold against my lips. I heard a sound and I pulled back, my rational mind resisting the farce, warring with my broken spirit, warning me someone might see. But what might they see? A scientist bowing to superstition? Not here. I was scientist no longer. Now I was only a penitent, scraping and begging for forgiveness. But I was yet rational enough to know. Forgiveness did not exist.
5 hot and tedious days have passed, and I have not seen another soul on the road. I'm close. I move as fast as I can. My legs keep moving out of sheer momentum. At night, I dream that I am still walking. Today, I will reach home. It is odd to think of it as such. I wasn't there long before my research took me to Therion, and my arrogance led me to make a deal with the devil. Oh, what I have paid for nothing. I gave everything up for my Hamlet, and then I gave it all up again for what? Greed? The pursuit of magical knowledge? How meaningless it all is now. I have lost everything but this, and perhaps I have lost this too, but I cannot allow myself to think that way. This was my sanctuary long ago, and I need a sanctuary once again. Not to hide in. No one is looking for me. All who might have cared, and I use that term loosely, are dead. My son is dead. He was never mine. The landmarks begin to look familiar. More than 25 years have passed. I wonder if I'll miss it, but no. There is where I leave the path. I walk. In my mind, I'm running. Please be there. Please be there. Please be empty. Please. I turn the bend and stop. Breathe. It's there. I weep and stumble to the doorstep. I'm crying, so at first I don't notice that the decades of dust have been disturbed. I push open the loosely swinging door and fall to my knees. Through my tears, I imagine it just as it was the day I left it. I even imagine I see my glass inkwell, one of the few precious possessions I owned from a time even before this. I want to see it all properly, so I wipe my dusty sleeves across my eyes and place a hand on the floor to give myself extra leverage as I rise. My hand is on the floor, next to a clear boot print. And then I look around. The floor is caked with dirt and clearly disturbed. Recently disturbed. I'm suddenly afraid. I rise to my feet, try to shut the door. The bolt has rotted. I back into a corner, sit knees scrunched to forehead, and wait in dread. Irrational fear grips me. I've never been afraid of being alone. I've craved this kind of real solitude for years. No one knows I'm here. No one could have followed me. There was no one left. I repeat these things like a prayer. It is, after all, what I'm used to doing, until the fear subsides. Gradually, I hear the silence that is not really silence when the world is undisturbed and moving on as it should. I rise. I take in what is left of my home. I see a streak of bright blue in the monotonous covering of tan. I was not imagining it then, my glass inkwell. I pick it up. It has recently been handled, even, dare I believe, polished. The dust on its surface is only days old. It gives me pause. Whoever was here was not a vandal. They, he, she, had taken care of this one valuable item and replaced it where it belonged. A prick of tears behind my eyes. Kindness from a stranger. Kindness. To me. I put it down, stifle the emotion, see the well. I stride over and peer in, grasping for a tiny measure of hope. It is empty, just like Therian's. My little well is gone. I stare into it and drown.